Ezekiel 46, verse number 9. But when the people of the land shall come before the Lord in a solemn feast, he that entereth in by the way of the north gate to worship, everybody say to worship, shall go out by the way of the south gate. And he that entereth by the way of the south gate shall go forth by the way of the north gate. And he shall not return by the way of the gate whereby he came in, but shall go forth over against it. And the prince in the midst of them, when they go in and shall go in, when they go forth shall go forth. Hallelujah. I want you to notice this is instruction from the Lord. And the people were given this. Ezekiel was describing the order of worship in the kingdom temple. And this is what he was instructing the people. He said, when you go in one way, make sure you go out different. And that's what I want to talk to you for a few moments about. Don't leave the same way you came. Don't leave the same way you came. I think too often in 1 Timothy chapter 3, Brother Sound Man, if you'll throw that up there so I don't have to look it up. Verse number 15. Do you have it? Who's the sound man? Oh, Brother Media Man. Verse 15. Throw that up there for me. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth, that I could know how to behave myself in the house of God, that I would understand what God wants out of me when I go to the house of God. And of course, verse 16, we all love this. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory, that I might know how I ought to behave in the house of God. Hallelujah. Let's ask, well, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. This area, this city, which I have considered quite often, the Tulsa area where you are in particular, this area is in need of truth. A lot of spirituality here, but a lot of it is just spirits and not the Spirit of Christ. So people are open to all kinds of weirdness and strange stuff. And they need the pillar of foundation. Let's ask God to help us leave different today. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your mercy, your grace, your power, your blood, your spirit, oh God. Lord, I need you today. I can't do anything save you. Help me. But I am depending on you. Help me to lift the hands of the ministry. Help me, God, to lay a foundation that people can build upon. And I'm asking you, God, that you would give us a glimpse into glory. Speak to me individually and talk to us, God, collectively. And bless the church corporately. And we give you praise and honor and glory. Let your spirit move in this place. And we thank you for it in the precious name of Jesus. Now show your neighbor how to praise God. Can you do that? Oh, come on. There's an apostolic or two in this building. Show your neighbor how an apostolic ought to give God some high praise. If the Lord's been good to you, open your mouth and give him some high praises. Somebody shout hallelujah in this house. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Everybody put on a great big broken arrow smile. Don't put on a broken smile. And I want you to reach around and shake two or three folks by the hand, look them right in the eye and say, don't leave the same way you came. Hallelujah. Everybody say it together. Don't leave. The same way you came. Praise God. And you may be seated. Thank you so very, very much for your attention and having me. You know, it is so vital that I, everybody say me, don't miss not one service if I can help it. Because it invariably, the devil will do everything he can to keep you out of church. Because his desire is, he knows there's a blessing with your name on it. And he knows there's a miracle that has your name on it. And he knows that there is a word that God wants to give you that's got your name on it. And he'll do everything he can to keep you from getting to the house of God. But the Bible tells us not forsaking the assembling together of ourselves. That is our custom. We come together to give God corporate worship and corporate praise because we know if we lift him up, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Can I get an amen out of somebody? So we know that if we lift him up, the presence of God is going to come down. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah about that. And it's always that one service that you don't feel like coming to. And the enemy's thrown all kinds of obstacles in your way. Why, he sent you somebody to shake your hand that had the cold. You don't think he can do that? I know he can. He'll send somebody by your way to sneeze on you. And then you'll get to feeling, you know, I don't think I can go to church. God forbid they might pray for me and I get healed. Well, y'all are getting kind of, say already, you're saying, oh, he's already picking on me. It could be that one service that you least expect the miracle from God, that God gives you a miracle and deliverance. You see, the object is, this is unlike any other kind of church. This is the kind of church you come with your problems and your baggage and your hang-ups and your heartache and your struggle and your situation. You messed up, you bruised up, you got habits, you got problems. But God, through his Spirit, will come down and touch you and give you what you need and deliver you. Can I get an amen? And you come in one way, but bless God, you go out a whole different way. You come in one way, but God sends you out another way, because the will of God is for you to come and be changed. Everybody say change. We hate that word. Be seated. We hate that word. Every time a pastor changed the carpet, sure looks good. But I just didn't like it when he's first putting it in here. Because we don't like change. But everybody secretly wants change. Some of us fat folks don't want to be so fat. Oh, you're always wanting to change how you look. That's why them girls go in there, get them a new pair of glasses. You got 6 pair of glasses already, girl. But I got to get another one because it just changes the way I... What would you change if you could change something? Would you be taller or shorter? Well, I think I'd get braces. Or dentures, that's all right. But we're always looking to be a little bit different. Because we're never quite satisfied. That's one of the specialties of God. Is we come with things that we don't want. We come to church in a way that we didn't desire to come. Y'all are so tuned in because I'm talking your language. And I know some of you guys, especially teenagers. Teenagers always, you always freaking out by the way you look. And it's not bad enough that you're always worrying about it, you know. That's why these guys get these, let me look around, funky haircuts. Shave your head all up on the side, leave a big old mop on the top. big old shaggy, look like something living up there, you know. Well, Pastor, that's the style, Brother Merritt. You don't understand. That's the cool way to look, because I like a little change. Oh, I am. Or the latest fashions that came right out of Hollywood. Oh, Hollywood. Always somebody trying to make you dissatisfied. And the only thing we ought to be dissatisfied with is sin. You see, God don't make no mistakes, and God didn't make any junk when he made you. But there's some junk that's piled up on you that you inherited from our daddy Adam. Adam made a mess. Adam failed. Adam went into a garden, a utopia was made out of mud, and he went back to his mud-like ways because of disobedience and sin. And the Adamic nature still rests on every one of us. I don't know how good this is getting you, but I know some of you need to hear this. And here's the problem. Now, we'll come to church, and the devil does not mind you coming to church. Oh, no, he just is happy you to show up. He don't care if you show up. He does care, though, if you leave different. Oh, yeah. He don't mind you lifting your hands a little bit and saying, oh, glory. He don't mind if you tap your toe and say hallelujah. Well, he don't even mind if you pray just a little bit. But he don't want you to get too serious about it. Because if you get serious about it, you'll go out a different way than you came in. I wish I had a real hallelujah in this house. What somebody needs to do on a Sunday morning is say, Pastor, I've got some problems. And Brother Barrett, you don't understand. I've got a situation. But bless God, I'm going to leave it at the altar. And I'm about to leave without it, because God's going to take me out a different way than I came in. Can I get an amen? I want to ask, has anybody in this church been set free? Has anybody in this house been healed? Has anybody in this house been delivered? Then you ought to get up and give God praise as a great cloud of witnesses and say, bless God, I'm going to leave different. Friend, somebody shout hallelujah. Don't leave with your junk. Don't leave with the habits you showed up with. Don't leave with your secret sin, mister. It's time to leave different. Then you came. Can I get an amen? Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord. I wish somebody would shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph in here. Hallelujah. The only one that left the same way they came was the prince. But the people left different. Somebody say amen. The prince never changes. Truth never changes. Repentance never changes. Baptism in the name of Jesus does not change. Receiving the Holy Ghost evidenced by speaking in tongues, that's the catalyst of your change. That never changes. Can I get an amen? The oneness of God never changes. Holiness never changes. But I'm going to tell you what it'll do. It'll change you. Can I get an amen? And if somebody will get a hold of this today, you're going to leave different than you came. Somebody shout hallelujah.
So quit worrying about being skinnier. Or taller, or shorter, or better looking, or what color your eyes are. Man, I saw somebody the other day. I was in a store, and it was a guy. I'm talking to this guy. I'm looking at him. I said, oh, God, he got crazy eyes. I can't help it. I'm going to stare. I can't help it. If you're going to have something crazy, I'm going to stare at it. Because I guess you want me to look. His eyes were looking. I'm like, what's scary? And finally, I had to ask him. I said, hey, bro. He said, yes, sir. I said, what's up with your eyes, man? That can't mean, there ain't no color like that. I don't even think God made a color like that for eyes. Where'd you get those? He said, oh, they're contacts. I said, wow, sir. I said, that's unique. Wasn't that a good compliment? What do you think? That's unique. I said, what else am I going to say? I didn't want to say, oh, that's scary. That's what I thought. Everybody wants to change something about them, but they don't want to change what's inside of them. Now let me ask you, because the real struggle is not the outward. Holiness is easy once you get the Holy Ghost. The struggle is the inward man. Now, we don't want to preach about that. You know why? Because it's easier to say, don't do this, do that, don't do this, do that. But if you get change where it matters. Oh, y'all are so quiet now. Then all of the external is not going to be a problem when the internal affects the eternal. Y'all are not still helping me. When you get a real good dose of the Holy Ghost, that critical spirit that you've been struggling with all these years, now I'm going to preach to somebody now. That gossip spirit that some of you are fighting right now. That bitterness that you can't seem to get off of you. That spirit of depression that comes on you every day and the devil's trying to tell you you're nobody. That addiction they told you you'll never get over. When you get the Holy Ghost on the inside, it will affect everything about your life. You'll leave different than you came. Somebody shout hallelujah if you believe that. Don't you tell me you've got to be a drunk. Don't you, because I don't believe your lie. Don't you tell me I got to be a liar. I don't believe that lie either, liar. Don't you tell me that I've got to be a whoremonger because that's what my daddy was, that's what my mama was. That's what my family is. I don't believe that lie either. When you get the Holy Ghost, I don't care what door you come in, you're going to go out a different way. I don't care how bad you come, God's going to send you out. I wish I had an amen in this church. Now, in our church, in Pineville, almost everybody there, I'm the only pastor they've ever had. And they don't even, I don't even know if they know my name. They call me pastor. But every one of them, I know their story. I know their stories. They didn't come raised in this. They didn't come full of the Holy Ghost. They came full of the world. But they left different. I got a guy right now. He's like my pride and joy right now. His name is Logan. Logan was a white rapper. Yeah. is that something? He come, man, he had long hair, had hoops in his ears. I'm not talking about earrings. What do they call them? Gauges? Whatever they called them, they was gauge disgusting. It looked like you could stick two pencils in there. Just they had big hoops, gauges, whatever. Look hoops to me. It's hoops. Hoops. And he sat on the back. You know why he came? Because he had some family there. He was a drug dealer. He was a drug addict. He was a drunk and a whoremonger, and he was a white rapper. How's that work? Yeah. Oh. Boom, boom, boom. Jesus is the most. I don't know. I can't do it. I don't have, ain't no rhythm in me. I mean, zero. I can barely snap my fingers. That's all I can do. But he was so cool. He was so cool. He sat back there on the back, crossed his arms. And I'm telling you, if you put a glass of water next to him, it would have froze up. He was so cool. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was cool, man. But he came because his family was there.
I went back to him the first time, Brother Dunn. I was going to go talk to him, you know. I said, hey, bro, I said, I'm glad you're here. I said, you want to come and pray? He said, no, thank you, no. Man, he got a pair of long britches, but it didn't cover his, barely cover his knees. Anyway, I said, okay. I said, you keep coming. I said, we're glad you're here. Love you. Oh, yeah. Peace out, bro. I said, yeah, bro. Victory, peace. I'm with you, man. I'm pretty cool, too, you know. And he came to another service. Well, he didn't make a move, and he came to another service. And he came for 3 months. He just sat back there. We have altar call. We have a wild altar. People getting the Holy Ghost. People falling out. It's church. It's just crazy church. That's what we like. You know? I mean, we don't want nothing tame. He's sitting back there watching. Finally, one service, he comes up. He said, Pastor. I said, yes. He said, can I talk to you? I said, yeah, let's talk. He said, I believe everything you're saying. I said, then why aren't you doing it? Oh. He said, I believe God's about to fill me with the Holy Ghost. I said, I believe it. First thing you got to do is repent, because you're never going to change until you repent. We want to pray people through to the Holy Ghost, them talk in tongues and fall on the floor, but they're not going to get anywhere unless they repent. What's wrong with us? We quit preaching repentance. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah about that. We get 200 people talk in tongues, but it's not the Spirit of God, and they go away living the same way they came in. I'm going to tell you, that's not the Holy Ghost. But when you repent and say, Jesus, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of my problem. I'm sick of my struggle. I don't want to be like this. God, I'm better than this. I want to be changed. God, I'll change you if you repent. Somebody say repentance. And that goes for the saints. Don't you give your pastor problems because you don't know how to repent. Gossip will leave you and you'll go out different if you'll repent. That critical eye that you can always see everybody's fault except your own. Aren't you glad I'm here? It'll leave you if you'll learn how to repent. I wish somebody would say amen. You know what? Not everybody changes quick like Logan. 3 months. I was going to get angry, but then I remembered I sat on a Pentecostal pew for 6 months trying to shoot holes in the preacher's message. What I couldn't shoot holes in, though, is what I felt. I couldn't beat his message either. In fact, it was so ugly that I'd go home, I'd take notes. I was a policeman. That's why some of you don't like me right now. That's what you're feeling off of me. And I'd take notes, I'd outline his messages, and I'd go home and I'd sit up and I'd look at the scripture and I'd try to shoot a hole in it, but I was re-preaching his message to me. About 3 o'clock in the morning, I said, I gotta go to bed. This is confusing. This man's saying I'm lost. And I was. So Logan came. He said, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to repent. And he did. He said, Pastor, I want the Holy Ghost. Guess what God did? Filled him full of the Holy Ghost. He went right out and got a haircut. Imagine that. That's what happens when you get it on the inside. The outside's no problem. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah about that. You know what? I'll tell you something about that young man. He went from peddling drugs to peddling Jesus. And we've been praying people through every service because he won't come to church unless he brings somebody with him so God can do for them what he did for him. I wish somebody, everybody in this house ought to stand on your feet right now. Lift your hands and say, God, change me. I want to leave different than I came. Come on, stand on your feet and lift your hands real high. Somebody shout hallelujah in this house. I don't care if you've been in this church all your life. Every one of us has struggles. You know, I had to get on to one of my students this morning because this is what he said. He said, you know, he said, I'd ask my friend how strong he is. And here's that. That's a foolish argument. I'm not going to ask you how strong you are because I know how weak you are. Reason I know that's because I'm weak too. I got to have God's help. You've been lying that lie so long, you believe the lie and say, oh, I got this. I can handle this, Pastor. You can't handle nothing. You need the Holy Ghost to help you. Can I get a witness out of somebody? Some people change slowly. It took one young man 3 months, but when he changed, God changed him overnight. Some change immediately, but every one of us needs change. Need change. You know, I'm going to confess a problem that I have. Y'all probably have already discerned it. Some, yes, let's all stand. I'm about to pray. We're about to pray. Church is over. Time to pray. That's the best part of it. Best part ain't the preaching. The preaching gets us to the prayer. The preaching gets us to change. The preaching is the agent. It's like a cleansing agent. It gets us to approach the throne and change. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what my problem was? And my problem still is. I like the struggle. I like the conflict. I was in a doctoral class. I'm presenting my dissertation and my prospectus now for approval. And I'm sitting there with a bunch of Trinitarian preachers that don't understand what apostolic is all about. So my project's on apostolic because that's what I am. And so I'm just telling them all about it. And one of them says, well, I think you should define what an apostle is. I said, well, the Bible defines that. I said, I'm apostolic. I said, we follow what those cats preached. I said, we believe that talking in tongues was a normative thing in the first century and still is, yay, today. I said, so I qualify that because that's what I am. I said, but I don't have to explain what an apostle is. The Bible explains that. So, I like a fuss every now and then, y'all see? But I found the best struggle is when we struggle against the flesh and we struggle against the devil and we struggle against the world and we leave different. And we come out victorious. You feel it? Y'all feel that cleansing change? It's in the house. It's in the house. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Patterns of sin can be broken in one prayer meeting. Patterns of sin can be destroyed and those yokes destroyed in one service. You've got to be willing to change. What's true repentance? What's true repentance? Huh? It's an about face, but it is a conscientious willingness to leave the direction you're going and go out a different way. It means I'm sick. I'm sick of the drug dealer. I'm sick of my sickness. I'm sick of my habit. I'm sick of my attitude. I'm sick of the sin, and Lord, I want to leave totally different. Is this too simple for y'all? Is this too simple? Because I told you, Pastor, I said, it's going to be simple this morning. We've got to be sick. See, God has a plan for you. God has a plan for your life. And your friends, your running partners, your buddies, the people that you grew up with, your family, they're not going to understand change. Because all they can relate to is what you are, but Jesus said, that's not what you're going to be. You see? The world says you'll never amount to this, you'll never be that, but the devil's a liar and the world's a liar. Jesus has plans for us. I don't want to get to the end of my journey and look back over my shoulder and see what I was supposed to be because I wasn't willing to change. I don't want to get to the end of this and say, oh, but get to the end of this and say, oh, well, he's Dr. Merritt. Big deal. Oh, he pastors multiple churches. So what? If I was unwilling to change, boy, I feel the Holy Ghost. Yeah, tamayego. You know what's going to keep you off the bicycle? It's repentance. You know what's going to keep you from having burn-up kids and messed-up marriages? Somebody ought to shout hallelujah in here. You've got to be full of the Spirit. Can I get an amen? Now I'm going to ask you, do you want to change? Do you? Then bring it to the altar. Bring it to the altar. Don't wait around. Don't look around for somebody else. Bring it to the altar. Quick, quick, quick. Quick, quick, quick. Ministry's going to come and help me. Come on, it's time to change. You're not what the world says you are. You're a child of God. God has a plan for your life. Come on, get around this altar. Y'all need to repent right now, everybody in here. If you're repentant, you need to find somebody to help them.